Flynn, too, continued on with his work. He had come across a treasure trove of information supplied to him unwittingly by Catherine Wiley. "I went to see Dr. Flynn," Wiley later recalled, "and found him most interested. He said that he would be glad to have the names and addresses of all the sick girls that I knew." Wiley wasn't aware that Flynn was working for USRC, for he did not disclose that information. Nor did she know that the firm had asked Dr. Flynn to see these girls and to give medical advice. And so, with Flynn now having her home address, on 7th of December 1925, Catherine Sharb received a letter. "My dear Miss Sharb," Dr. Flynn wrote on the headed paper of the College of Physicians and Surgeons, "I wonder if you would be kind enough to either come to my office or, if you prefer, to my house in South Orange and let me give you an unbiased opinion." But Catherine Sharb, in a terrible nervous state, was in no condition to see Dr. Flynn. "I was ill when I received the letter," she remembered. "I was in bed and I could not go out." She wrote back to explain her predicament, as Flynn recalled. "I never replied to her letter," he said, "as I told my technician that if she wasn't willing to come either to my home or my office, I certainly wasn't going to put myself out. A girl of that class didn't appreciate it when you did try to aid her." Flynn wasn't bothered about being unable to examine Catherine, for he had plenty of other avenues to explore. He later boastfully said, "I have examined practically every girl now working in this industry." With his contacts at USRC, Luminite and the Waterbury Clock Company, to name a few of the firms who had engaged him, he now had unprecedented access to the dial painters. However, despite his boast, he doesn't seem to have examined many ex-employees. If he had, he might have discovered that a second Waterbury girl, Elizabeth Dunn, had recently been taken ill. She'd left her dial painting job earlier in 1925, whether before or after Flynn started his study is not clear, after a simple slip on a dance floor had left her with a broken leg, what might be called a spontaneous fracture. Had Flynn discovered her case, or the death of her former colleague, Francis Spletstocker, it would have been crucial evidence that the dial painter's illnesses went beyond the orange plant and were caused by their occupation. Flynn was also busy discrediting the work of Dr. Martland. In December 1925, Martland, another doctor called Conlon, and the girl's dentist, Dr. Kniff, published a joint medical study based on their work with the women that year. Their conclusion was that this was a hitherto unrecognised form of occupational poisoning. The article became, in time, a classic example of a medical mystery solved. In 1925, however, with this being such a pioneering statement, no such respect was shown. Martland's conclusions were so radical that they were disputed fiercely, and not just by Flynn. A radium medicine specialist, Dr. James Ewing, commented dryly at a meeting of the New York Pathological Society, "We are a long way from speaking of the ill effects of radium therapy." He might have been, but Martland certainly wasn't. In fact, Martland singled out the medicinal use of injected or ingested radium as dangerous and stated that none of the known radioactive substances produce any curative results. That was a red rag to the bullish radium men. This wasn't just about some dial painters dying. Martland was now attacking a hugely lucrative industry.